Today's sponsor, W Films. W Films is a full-service video production company located in Lewis, Delaware. Need help getting your message out on social media? How about creating a brand film for your company's website? W Films experts can help you create the perfect video and help you get the social media attention you've been looking for. W Films also specializes in marketing materials for real estate. They can provide cinematic video tour, HDR photography, and a fully immersive 360-degree tour to help your property get sold faster and for more money. To find out more, go to wfilmsmedia.com or call 302-569-0725. 302-569-0725. Everyone has a story. Let us tell yours. All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. Good morning. It is, what's today? May 20th, 2022, Friday. The sun is shining this morning. Winds are low. Just a spectacular day. Got up this morning. I was supposed to run with my buddy Jimmy K, but he hasn't been feeling well, and he's starting to feel better. And I said, why don't we just wait one more week? And he's like, yeah, that's cool. And so I did not run. I actually got up this morning and mowed the lawn. Starting to kind of be that time of the year where things are growing, and I do like to mow my own lawn. So this morning I got up and cut the grass. It was just really beautiful. I've shared before that I worked on a golf course at one point in my life, and you know, if I'm going to be honest, I miss it. I miss working on the golf course. I miss being outside, and I miss the camaraderie with the crew, and I miss cutting grass. And, you know, like this morning I'm cutting lines in the lawn, kind of like it's the U.S. Open, and I miss it. So, you know, a buddy of mine, I don't know if I shared the other day, but a good friend passed away, Michael, Godspeed. But a friend of his, him and I started chatting a little bit. We've been friends. We're friends. We're, you know, more Facebook friends, I would imagine. But we are friends, and I, you know, we communicated a little bit when Michael passed, and I follow him sort of on Facebook, and he posted he got a new job, and he's working on a golf course, and I'm like, what are you doing? You know, what's going on? And he's like, I'm working at the golf course, and I go, what are you doing? Are you on the grounds crew? And he's like, yeah. And part of me was like, damn, I miss that, you know? I miss that. I loved, you know, my buddy Matt, he was, you know, if you'd heard his story in the past, he, you know, his life was whatever his life was, you know, doing whatever it is that he did. And when he finally came out of it, you know, he became, he started getting into the restaurant industry. And he used to say that the restaurant industry loved him until he could learn to love himself. And he always used to say that. And I always used to think, you know, it's one of those things you pause and you're like, wait a minute, what's that mean? The restaurant industry is very loving, or he didn't know how to love himself. I think a little bit of both. And I kind of feel the same way, you know, and when he said, you know, I sort of feel the same way with the golf industry. You know, I was, deep into it, whatever it is I was doing, I was deep into it. And I was working at the shortstop, and just even worse kind of situation. And my brother was working at the country club, and he was going to move to a different job. And he said, hey, they're going to be looking for someone. Would you like to apply? And I was like, yeah. And started working at the country club on the golf course. And that was one of those jobs that loved me until I could sort of learn how to love myself. And love myself is a pretty broad statement, right? Because, I mean, I think even today I'm still learning how to love myself. You know, I can like myself. Hey, you know, not bad, right? But do I love myself? And I think that means, am I willing to find humility, right? And until, because before that, I'm just so focused on self. Right. If you're so focused, if I'm so focused on me, how could I love anything else? Right. If I'm so focused on making me happy and getting what I want, how do I have any time to love myself? And when I think about that, is like, so that means like the ability to be sorry, the ability to be there for others, whatever it is, all that shit that slowly follows. But it's really not the point. The point was is that he got into an industry that loved him until he learned how to love himself. And so did I, you know, that job. You know, when I started working at the country club, I was actively in my addiction, drinking. I mean, I would literally come to work drunk. And, you know, one of the things that I wrote down on this piece of paper was that, you know, people pleasing. I've talked about it before. I'm a people pleaser. I had such a low amount of value for myself that the only way that I could get value and feel good about myself was basically doing anything anybody asked. You know, despite, you know, how awful or, you know, how crazy it sounded, I was, sign me up. Because if I can do this, this shows that I'm a good person. This means you will like me. This is how I create value. And, you know, it was, you know, but it was a great lesson. You know, it was what I needed. I needed to start. Well, honestly, I can't really say that. I don't really know what the fuck I needed at the time. I just know I needed a job. And, but I would, you know, a lot of this stuff was would be exposed, you know, watering the golf course in the middle of the night. Like any normal person with value in themselves would probably be like, nah. I mean, I like to say that I'm a people pleaser, but there was also some sort of adventure in there. There was something actually very cool about watering a golf course throughout the middle of the night. Sure, there was people pleasing in there, but there was also just, you know, the adventure. And but that was, you know, that was early or late in addiction. And but you know, that whole, you know, I got a DUI, my boss would come and pick me up. People from work would give me a ride to work in the mornings because I couldn't drive. At one point, I attempted to drive and got caught by a state cop who would turn out to be friends with my boss. My boss would get me out of basically going to jail because I was driving on a DUI. I don't know if I'd have gone to jail, but it could have been ugly. And he, you know, he got me out of it. And, you know, he loved me before I could figure out how to love myself. And, you know, making dumb choices like that is not a person that loves himself. That's a person that is trying to please himself. And, but you know, and then eventually going to that bar, getting my ass handed to me. And the first thing I thought about was I cannot let these people at the club see me with these stitches. You know, I've in the past I shared it as I didn't want to explain this to my friends, but it was really the crew at work. You know, all the guys I worked with. You know, and if you're in a job like that and you're like my buddy working at the club now, you have a group of people that you are tight with. And my first thought was I can't explain to these guys how I got these stitches again. And that's why I ended up going to the hospital, hiding for 5 days. You know, my story is so, early recovery story version and then today version. And, you know, early story recovery version was, I've had enough. Obviously, I have a drinking problem. I needed to get something done. And so I'm going to check into the hospital. You know, I'd love to paint the picture of this was my idea. I had enough. The time in doing this kind of behavior was ending and I needed to fix it. It wasn't really the case. The case was, oh, I got my ass kicked. I don't want to fucking explain to anybody at work what happened. I'm going to go to the hospital. I'm going to hide there for 5 days. But, you know, however it is and whatever happened, you know, it happened and I'll take it because that would be the beginning. But, you know, coming back to the golf course as a sober person and, you know, working and continuing to work till I could figure out how to love myself. And that would slowly allow me to go to school and get an education. But still the motivation, you know, what I'm finding out is if my motivation is about money, there's probably going to be a resentment somewhere in there. Now, of course, we have to make money, right? We have to make money to survive. So there's a lot of potential for resentment. But, you know, it was you know, and then deciding to go to school to improve my education so that I can make more money. And, you know, and I wanted to be like my boss Brownie, who was this amazing superintendent, and I really looked up to him. And I wanted to do that. I wanted to be people please him, and I wanted people please the club, and I wanted to look good for my parents and, you know, whatever relationship I was in, and still learning, or would later learn, that that is very toxic. And 4 years into that career, realizing I hate this, and I need to make a change.
Thank you.
Same damn time. It's why I am. It's why I am. It's why I am still here dancing with the Groove Box King. Out of my head and into.
Yes, it's why I am, man. I love that. I love these songs. Fucking so good. I mean, sometimes when I don't know what I'm doing or when I don't know what I'm thinking about and I hear a song like that and it reminds me, you know, it's why I am. Just this whole story that I'm sharing is all basically everything is that I've gone through to get to where I'm at today. And, you know, the good times and the bad times, the times where I felt were never going to work out, and the times I thought I was going to be, you know, the next president of the United States, through all that shit, here I am, right? And I woke up today with a great attitude and just feeling very blessed. You know, one of the things that we're kind of, I don't know about you, but I know for me, you know, during this whole pandemic, you know, I lost my mom. And that's still heavy on my heart because, you know, I remember as a kid, you know, I loved my mom, loved her. And I was adopted, so I don't know if that had anything to do with it. I don't know if there was some underlying thing going on with me, but I really love my mom. And I think we all really love our mom. And she was just such a great lady. And I've always, you know, the fact that she adopted me and took care of me and put up with me through fucking some of the worst shit, you know, the shit I put that poor lady through, and she stuck by me till the very end. And, you know, my ex-wife called and said that my son Sam was, you know, he was feeling down last night and sad because he missed Grandma Jean. And, you know, I get it. I talked to him this morning. I said, listen, you know, it was weird, man. We just went through a weird thing. And unfortunately, during that whole thing, we lost Grandma Jean. And, you know, she got sick, and then we had to put her she had to go to the hospital, and then COVID hit. And then we couldn't come visit her. They put her in a home. We couldn't come see her. I'll never forget the last time the boys saw Grandma Jean was at a nursing facility, and they literally kept the boys 12 feet away from her. And she had lost her vision. She had gone blind. And all she wanted to do was give the boys a hug, and they wouldn't let her. And we had to leave her there. Oh, my God. Oh, I think about it now, and well, it's just so sad. You know, I think, you know, one of the great things about, you know, my dad being around and being able to be there for my father is that you can see this 85-year-old man is afraid. You know, he's afraid. I can tell he's afraid. He doesn't want to be alone, or he doesn't want to die alone, right? He wants to have family. You know, he gets intimidated by things just like any 85-year-old man would. I mean, for the most part, my dad's doing so well. He's driving. Talked to him last night. He was at the country club, you know, doing his thing. But, you know, he is getting older. And you know, as a parent or as a son, you know, for my whole life, it's been take, 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 and never give. And now the ability to give back and be there for him, especially right now for my dad. But, you know, I remember when my mom, before the COVID was in, it had hit. I don't know. I remember I got to go up to the hospital and sit, and I would go over there and read to her, read her the paper and read her articles and stuff, because she lost her vision. Like in 1 week, she went blind. And I would sit and read with her and just give back to my mom, who so freely gave to me. Right. I mean, there might have been some loud talk, some yelling and some spanks. But, you know, for the most part, it was freely given. And, you know, I just don't think any of us have had a chance to really, you know, mourn my mom. And so Sam was feeling bad. And then my wife's grandmother, GW, she's 99. And, you know, I've talked about it before. You know, it's, I know, like my buddy Jimmy, he wants to live to 120. And I'm like, I don't know if you do. You know, I don't know what that's about. You know, I can see GW at 99. She's not happy. She's not happy, and she feels like she's a burden. And, you know, even though she's not a burden, she's a burden, right? I mean, of course we're a burden. We're 99 and blind. We are a burden. But that's what, as kids, you know, that's what we give back to our parents. And it's like, you're not a burden, Mom or Dad. We're here. Well, I want to help you. But it's a burden, right? And it's taking its toll on everybody. My wife's, you know, going over to see her mom today and just try to be there for her. And, but my son's also, he really loves GW. And, you know, it's so funny because every time we go over there, he likes to sit in GW's room and talk to her. And she just, oh, that's Sam. He's an old soul, you know. Yeah, but we feel like the end is coming for all of this stuff now, and it's just, it's really tough. And but, you know, I guess one of the greatest things, at least, I don't know if it's great, one of the things that I'm grateful for is that when my mom died, I was sober. You know, I think that's all she ever wanted, was me to be sober, and luckily I was sober, right? Not that it really mattered one way or the other, but she definitely, you know, and I don't even know, you know, she was struggling with dementia. So I'm just grateful that I was able to be sober. And we got to figure out how to put some closure, or the physical closure, on Grandma Jean, so that the part of the problem is my dad, you know, went to the Air Force Academy, and he wants my mother and him to be buried at the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs. And so, and the plan, you know, according to my dad, you know, your mother is going to outlive me. We need to make sure everything's in place so you can take care of her. And I'm like, yeah, but absolutely, Dad. Well, that's not how it went down. My Grandma Jean's gone. Pop-Up Dave is still around. And, but, you know, we can't get out to Colorado Springs. So we're sort of, in this morbid kind of way, we're sort of waiting for my father to pass. And then he wants me to take her and him and their urns out to Colorado Springs to the Air Force Academy and place them there. So we're just still kind of unsettled. And I don't know what we have to do. Maybe get everybody together and just kind of have a little thing or something. But I don't know. But it's kind of a tough deal. I want to read the Daily Reflections. It's actually, oops, sorry. I have it up. Here it is. Oh, really? You know, someone said, well, you should read the Daily Reflections first and then talk about it. And I don't. I don't do that. But I also like doing this podcast. I like sharing. I like playing music. And, you know, so some days maybe I'll just come and read the Daily Reflections and then share how that takes place in my life. And that's what I was going to do today. And then I ended up talking about something else. But today, May 20th, one day at a time. One day at a time. Above all, take it one day at a time. As Bill sees it, page 11. Why do I kid myself that I must stay away from a drink for only one day? when I know perfectly well I must never drink again as long as I live. I am not kidding myself, because one day at a time is probably the only way I can reach this long-range objective of staying sober. If I determine that I shall never drink again as long as I live, I set myself up. How can I be sure I won't drink when I have no idea what the future may hold? On a day-at-a-time basis, I am confident I can stay away from a drink for one day. So I set out with confidence. At the end of the day, I have the reward of achievement. Achievement feels good, and that makes me want more. You know, when I first came into the program, that was one of the first things I saw: one day at a time. One day at a time. And I was like, oh, I fucking really like that. And I, to this day, I really like that. You know, I think a lot of people were coming out of this pandemic and, you know, trying to reassess what's valuable, right? And reassess what's important. And one of the things, and I know this happens all over the world, is that people work to pay for daycare. People work to pay for insurance. We work just to have insurance, right? Or we work just to have daycare. And we find ourselves putting our kids inside, you know, buildings while we work. And I'm kind of done with that. And my wife had a job, still has a job, and I've shared she works in a bank. Some weird clicking sound going on. Hope can't hear that. But she was working in a bank, and hey, thank you, PNC, for the job. But fuck, man, these people that come into the bank are just not very nice. And listen, if you're one of those people that goes to a bank and doesn't treat the people well, shame on you. But she, she's sick of it. And I'm like, why don't we see if you cannot work, right? Why don't we see if we don't need your income? What is that sound? It's annoying. We're gonna try to do that. And it's scary. You know, I was like full of fear last night. And this morning I got up, I'm like, you know what? What am I saying? Let's go for this. You know, we don't drink. We don't use any drugs. We're not breaking any laws. We're not committing any crimes. We have good morals. And I said, listen, one day at a time, we could probably do this. You know, and it's gonna require us to cut back on spending. It's going to require us to, really cut back on spending. We're going to lose some of the things that we like to do. But in return, we get to have my wife be home with our children. You know, last year, Sam was old enough. He stayed at home. I came to work. Sam stayed home. Teresa went to grandma's and Christine went to work. And so Sam sat at home all day until we got home. Teresa had to stay at grandma's and Christine and I had to go to work. I'm like, what is going on? And, you know, it's so interesting. We have this whole plan about retirement. You know, if I can just get to 65 and then I get to retire. I tell you what, man, people are not doing as well at 65. You know, this whole idea of retiring and traveling, you know, GW and my wife's parents are a great example. You know, people are living longer. You know, like my dad at 85, I mean, he's doing all right, but at some point, we have to make a decision. He's going to either have to move into a place or he's going to have to move in with us. But, you know, we're being involved in our parents a lot longer. And we're finding, I see it through my clients that, you know, these, you know, like my in-laws, you know, they should be traveling the world, right? Going here and going there. No, they're taking care of GW, which is what they want to do. But, you know, you may find it out when your time comes to really have a good time. It might not work out. And so I'm like, we should really try to figure out for you not to work so that on my days off, we can spend them with the kids, going to the beach, having fun, enjoying ourselves now. And I can tell you, ever since my wife stopped working, our relationship has improved. I feel like we're more committed as a team. We are not like bickering about, One of our big challenges is getting kids to school. Our fault, right? We made the choice to drive our kids to the school every day. When there is a bus, right? This is some fucking shit I got to work out, but I do like driving the kids to school. But it had gotten to a point where I was the only one that was driving the kids to the school because my wife was having to be to work too early. And then that would start to create tension. She would feel bad about it. I'd be like, I'm fine. But she knew inside I wasn't. And, you know, we'd have tensions. And she'd come home all stressed out. And I'm like, and now she's like taking the kids. She enjoys it. It's not a lot of stress. I can get to work early. She can pick them up. They have, they have something to do. It's just, I don't know. You know, it's very scary trying to do something like that to basically remove one income. But in the end, it's all just more stuff that we buy, right? It's just, you know, we just waste money anyway. So if we can figure out how to tighten our budget and get rid of her income, which sounds even scarier when I say it. But like I said, listen, we'll try. And I told her, let's give it a shot. Listen, if fuck it goes south, you can always get a job, right? Because she's young and she does a great job. I feel bad because I really think my wife is excellent at what she does. And it's annoying that she is so good at what she does and in the environment that she does it in has become so toxic. You know, people, we got to lighten up, right? You know, when you come into a bank, or not you, but people have come into banks, they have to have two forms of ID. People get mad. They throw the ID at her. Come on. We got to do better. I don't do that. If you do that, you got to do better. But I think we all need to do a little bit better. We all need to be a little bit more positive and try to, you know, figure it out and work our way through this. But it's one day at a time, you know. I come in, I show up every day for one day and try to give you the best attitude that I can on a daily basis. And that's how I treated, you know, recovery. You know, I used to be the guy that said, I'm never drinking again. Never. And people used to say, don't say that. You never know. I'm like, no, I know. I am never drinking again. 4 years later, I'm drunk and fucking hammered and losing everything. And when I finally decided to get back in that room, I said, I got to do this on a one day at a time basis or I'm never going to succeed. Listen, have a great Friday. Thanks for letting me share. It's awesome outside. Be grateful you're sober. If you're trying to get sober, hang in there one day at a time and you got this, and we'll chat later. Bye. With the